Welcome back. It's Tom Bell here. And on this podcast, we're talking all things passion and purpose. And on today's show, we have Deborah Blilno, a transformational dream builder life coach. This is exactly what I'm hoping for all the audience to be able to hear, is about how to go about living your dream life, a life that you truly love. So welcome to the show, Deb.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to be here.
What a title. Like, oh my goodness. Like, you know, you're having to be sending some positive ripples out into the world, and you must be coming across people that, you know, aren't really living their life. And you're a person that's basically there. Your purpose or your passion is to actually help affect change in their world. So people that have not yet come across you, could you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do?
Yeah, sure. No problem. Well, it's a bit of a tongue twister, transformational dream builder life coach. And, but yeah, I suppose it's with regards to people not knowing how to dream anymore. You know, we land up getting molded into this thing called life, of how things are supposed to be. And a lot of the time we don't actually dream anymore. And then when you say to somebody, what is your dream life? They go, actually, I haven't thought about that. Because you look at circumstances and you look at what's happening around you and you just accept. So, you know, it's hardships that cause people to go within and start looking at their lives and what they want to change and all of that type of thing. And being a transformational dream builder coach, that's what I do. I help people discover what it is that they would really love in their lives, and then give them the tools and the system and all of that, holding their hand along the journey so that they can actually start bringing all of that, manifesting all of that into reality.
And I really love that. So what has that been like? Like you, and I'd love to know what you were doing before, but before we get into that, I'd really love to know, as you're talking with people and the light bulb moment's coming on, or they're working through this thing and they start to unearth a dream, what is it like seeing them unearth the dream and then actually, because, you know, like it's a dream, like I'm going to wake up from this and then I get about my normal life. So not only are you helping people to unearth it, then you're actually helping them go and live that dream. What has that been like, seeing that happen and then seeing them achieving it?
Oh, do you know what? It is so rewarding. Not just seeing it happen to other people, but knowing what it's like to go through that transformation, because I've applied this system into my life, the system that I use, the program, the dream building program. I've implemented into my own life, and the transformation within me and my life has been outstanding. And so I know what they're going through, and it's almost like it's self-discovery. That's what it's all about. And it's enlightening to see people, the light bulb moment go on, or you can see the confidence and self-esteem being risen. You can see even their eyes start shining more with glitter in it, because they just, it's enlightening for me to be able to see it. I hope I'm answering your question.
No, that's bang on. And so, you know, this is an interesting thing. So if people are, you know, there and you've got that conviction because you've gone through that, you've lived it. So when someone might look to you and go, oh, I've got doubts, I'm not sure, but really, is this going to happen? You know, you could give examples for yourself and I'll get those in a moment, but like, so for them actually being able to walk through that and become it, I think that's the thing I really kind of want people to take away and understand, is that your dreams matter. And even if you haven't yet come across what your dreams are, take time to unearth what they are, because once you start to get the glitter in your eyes and you start to sparkle and you start to live that life that you truly want, it gives permission for everybody else to do the same, just like you have done it. And then now you're helping others. Well, even if it people might not want to become a transformational dream builder life coach. They might just want to be their dream, whatever that is. But then they could just give a positive word of like, oh my God, I was here and I wasn't enjoying it. And now I'm doing the thing, whatever those things are. And then more and more people can do that. And then that just raises everybody up everywhere, because surely we all don't want to be miserable. So I think it's positive. So tell us then again about what it is, or tell us about what it is that you have gone through, and what were you doing prior to landing in this?
Okay, so I've actually been in training and coaching for over 20 years already, but in a completely different line of work.
Okay.
So it's always been a passion of mine to see the light bulb go on in somebody, to allow them to discover their full potential. And it's been something that I've always wanted to make a difference in people's lives. And for me, the turning point, which has now made me decide to go into transformational life coaching with the Dream Builder program, is because my entire life was turned upside down in 2018. My whole world ended as I knew it. I unfortunately lost my soulmate, my partner, my everything to cancer. And whilst I thought I was ready for it, I wasn't.
Mm.
The grieving process is one of the hardest things that anybody ever has to go through. I wouldn't wish it on anyone. And there's just so many stages of grief that you have to go through. And the thing is that while you're going through them, you see no hope. You see no outcome. You see no positivity or joy. Everything that you think of for the future is painful.
Mm.
And also then guilt and anger and frustration and all the different feelings that you go through. And while I went through that process, because it takes each person a different amount of time to go through each of the stages, but we all go through them.
Mm.
And it's not just from losing a loved one, you know, it's also possibly going through the grieving process after a marriage has broken down, mm-hmm. or if you've lost your job from the pandemic and you don't know how you're going to provide for your family. What causes the grieving process is different for each one of us, but the process itself and the feelings are the same.
Mm.
So, you know, a lot of people would go, oh, it's all the woo-woo stuff that you've got to go through with the mindset. And that's what the meditation, yoga, the changing the mindset to, I don't want this life. I don't want to be in this slump anymore. I want to be able to make a difference for the future that I have to rebuild. Mm. And that's why the name of my company is My New Beginning.
And so because it's about, who did you come across? You're going through this most challenging time, you know, and it's one of those things, one of the other ladies, Chris Wildeboer, that I was talking to, was talking to me off air about how, you know, you can be in that grieving process and a traumatic experience, and you can have seven people around you trying to help you. Let me cook the food. Let me do the thing. And it's like, you don't see any of them because you're just in a space where you're not ready to, or you can't, or whatever else, you're too much in your own space dealing with your own stuff. And then as your energy changes and things change, then all of a sudden you can see, oh my gosh, there are people here, and there is hope, and there is bridges to walk across and people to help me. So what was that for you?
Well, very good question, actually, because until such time that we make the decision to expand our awareness, the opportunities don't open for us. But and I was saying this to you earlier, there's a brilliant saying that when the student is ready, the teacher appears. And for me, it was a matter of, I went into journaling very big when I was going through the grieving process, because that helped me get all of the mumble jumble out of my head onto paper so that I could try and work through things. Because of having the seven people around me all the time and not noticing them, and I needed to work through things.
Mm.
And rereading my journal is what caused all of this. I reread what I'd been writing over the last couple of years since my husband passed away, and it was the same things. I so wish that I could have done this with my life. And I so wanted to be a life coach. And it was like, why am I saying the same things all the time and not doing anything about it? So it was at that moment that I thought, no, I'm doing this. I've made the decision. I'm going to do this, because I also thought, if I'm going through all of these emotions and feelings, there's other people out there as well that are feeling overwhelmed, that are struggling to see positivity. I've got to make a decision to do something about it. Mm. And because I made the decision, the awareness expanded. Social media is a wonderful thing. Flicking mm-hmm. through social media, and up pops this course, 8 Spiritual Secrets to Abundance. And I thought, okay, let's do that. And I absolutely fell in love with the mentor that did that program, and then came across the Dream Building program and fell in love with the whole concept behind that, because I was ready to acknowledge and accept.
Mm.
And because of that, that's what made me decide to become a Dream Builder coach, because I wanted to give people hope. I wanted to help people start their new beginning, you know, to dream again. It's okay to dream again when you've gone through grief. You know, from a loved one passing away, they wouldn't want us to not have a life because they're not here anymore.
Mm.
So it's working through all of that. And that's what led me to finding the Dream Building program.
I find it so interesting that, and I'm sure that we probably all do it, like, you know, to be able to go and read your own journaling and go, it's almost like, who is this person that's written all these things? Like, and it's not like that, but it kind of is, like, to look at the paper and go, I am saying these things over and over and over. But at the time when you're saying them over and over, and maybe even post grief, like if you were to journal now, it would be interesting, because you might still do the same process that in a year's time you look back and go, oh, maybe I want to go and be a professional weightlifter. Like, I'm imagining that's not in your,
your dream. You're 100% right.
but that's quite interesting. And so the journaling process sounds quite interesting to me. So someone was feeling a bit stuck right now, and it could be for whatever reason, like you're saying, the feelings of grief or those feelings of having to push through those hard times doesn't necessarily have to come from losing a loved one, but maybe the journaling process could be a good tool for people to actually start to get their thoughts down on paper, because then they can look back at it with fresh eyes and say, what am I writing? Who is this on paper? And maybe be able to pull out the different bits of who I am. And then I think the next thing is to actually, now that you're aware, because that brings some self-awareness, to actually act on what's important. So it's like, hey, that moment of like, why shouldn't I go and actually do what I truly want?
Absolutely. I completely agree with you. Not just with the journaling. Many people said to me, to help calm your mind, try meditation. And at the time, I was, that's woo-woo stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not interested in that woo-woo stuff. Until I decided, hold on, if I want different results in my life, maybe I should start trying different things. And that was another wonderful thing that I do. I do meditation every day now, because with the journaling and the meditation, it helps me calm my mind. Because let's face it, we're spirit having a human experience.
Mm.
We live 365 days a year. We're going to have bad days.
Mm.
And anybody that says you won't, I will disagree with.
Yeah, it's not real, is it? Mm.
It's not real. You're going to have days when circumstances around you, you know, we have no control over other people, how they react. We only have control over how we react to a situation. So whatever's going around us is going to cause situations, pandemic being one of them, causing difficulty. So it's finding a way that you can help just relax the mind, and getting it out on paper helps, and also meditation helps just calm things down a little bit to put things into perspective.
Mm-hmm. I like it. And I really love, like, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always got. So you have to actually change your behavior. And that can be a tricky thing, because change then leads to discomfort to a degree. And then you're out of your comfort zone. And then that becomes all scary and fear filled and effort and a whole lot of things where it's just a bit, it can feel yucky, but you actually have to get through that place to be able to arrive where you want to be, which will then become your comfort zone, but it'll be a hell of a lot more comfortable in the place that you truly want to be. Like, I'd rather sit in my dream with some of the pain and some of the discomfort around me, rather than sitting in, you know, a place where I'm largely miserable or unhappy or feeling stuck with copious amounts of pain around me and only little bits of highlights.
It's actually so funny you say that, because I have a big board on my wall, and at the top of my board, it says, everything we have ever wanted is just one step outside of that comfort zone.
I like it. I like it. That's great.
And it's true. If we want change, change means being uncomfortable. Mm. But when you become used to that, then it's okay. But change is good. Change is good for everybody. Mm. It brings us alive, and it allows us to start a journey and a new way of looking at things.
Mm. Yeah, we love to grow as humans, and the more that we're growing and making progress, it certainly seems to be a defining point in our lives and a point towards happiness. But so, speaking of happiness, from your perspective, two-part question, are you happy, and how do you define happiness?
So, yes, I am happy. For me, happiness is being able to be grateful for the things that I have, whether they be small or whether they be big. But happiness to me is being able to wake up in the morning with joy, to look to the future that is promising, rather than think of the future as painful.
Mm.
So we all create our own happiness. How we react to a situation determines the result. So one thing I've learned through this program and through life is we have to notice what's going on around us. And if we're not happy with the results that we're achieving, then we need to notice that, and we need to change those type of things. So we are in control of our thoughts. So happiness is being in control of how I react to things. And if I want to change it, change it. But joy is a big thing. Being grateful. Mm. I'm going off on a tangent here.
No, and that, I love tangents. You know, another, I can't remember who it was, but another friend of mine would always say, like, tangentially. Oh, now I can't say it, tangentially. Anyway, going off on tangents is one of the most fun things. You know, and we'll find ourselves like somewhere completely off track, but then you know, then we jump back to the other side. And but it's just, you know, that's fun. That's one of the most fun things about conversations and imagination and the gift of the gab or lack thereof at times. But you know, so but that, I love your definition of happiness and what that means to you, and considering what you've been through. Like, you know, some people, when they're going through such hard times or they might be going through that hard time now, you know, can't actually see that it could be brilliant. And we, you know, we see like suicide rates, you know, across the world, like, is a sad statistic. Because, you know, in a dark place, you know, people may not be able to see that life is worth living and that, you know, happiness could be right around the corner. It could mean about reaching out for help. It could mean about, you know, finding that self-awareness. So from your perspective with these clients that you're helping, and even to an extent your own life, what like, you know, they find out what it is that they want to do. How do they create that positive future? Is there some questions that you're going through? Because it's like, you can ask someone what you dream and they might be like, well, I don't know, I'm in this dark place, I can't see, it's bad, 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 bad. How do you bust through that? Is it questioning, or is there a question people listening could ask themselves?
Well, the thing is, most importantly, is just ask yourself, what would you love? You know, we've got different areas in our lives, and I know that I speak from somebody that's lost a loved one. So I tend to focus my attention on people that have been through the grieving process. I'm not here to help somebody get through the grieving process. That's what amazing counselors are for. I'm here to help somebody that has managed to work through the grieving process and then needs to rebuild what life means now for themselves. But ask yourself the question, what would I love?
Mm, I really
and
like
the funny
that.
Thing is, so many people don't know. They don't know what they would love.
I really like the idea that So I really like the idea that, like, you know, and probably a clear distinction is that a life coach isn't the counselor. So it's like you can go and see a counselor, you can go and get, you know, a therapist or someone to help you. A life coach is largely focused on results and is about asking questions and creating an environment for you to be able to go and achieve the results that you want to achieve. But it's probably good to make that distinction that if anyone listening needs that kind of help, then reach out to a qualified professional to be able to get the assistance that they need.
Because I've had a few people that have got in touch with me, obviously, because I have a selection of different videos with regards to, am I allowed to mention it?
No, 100%. plug your stuff away. That's the idea. Yeah.
I have a selection of videos on my website to give different methods of going through grief and what helped me, hoping that it will help other people. And I've had quite a few people contacting me that have just lost a loved one or have just got separated and aren't even divorced yet. And I always say to them that I would be doing them an injustice because there are so many emotions that they need to deal with while they go through the grieving process that would prohibit them from being able to determine what their dream life would be. So until such time that they've got to the acceptance stage of grieving, you're not able to look at what it is that you want in your life because there's too many emotions going on. So it's just a matter of, like you said, the distinction between a counselor and a life coach. It's asking the questions, what would you love? And then I wouldn't have been able to do this if I didn't have a mentor. And I wouldn't have been able to carry it through because, yes, we have paradigms that jump up left, right, and center because we've had a belief system for all our lives. And when somebody challenges that belief system or somebody challenges that idea of what we thought was the right way to do things, you have loads of paradigms that jump up. And unless you've got somebody that can give you a roadmap and a helping hand along the way so that you can discover the answer for yourself, it won't work. Mm. So that's why it's important to make sure that you have somebody that can guide you, to give you many questions along the way, ask you many questions along the way so that you can discover the answers.
It's interesting as you're saying that at the very end, I'm thinking about, and I don't go forward driving. It's, you know, it's a very popular pastime in Australia, and it amazes me, like, you know, seeing people do it, hearing their stories, whatever else. But so one of the stories that comes to mind is like that the people that are forward driving, like, often get stuck. They'll get stuck and it'll be in like a muddy rut or whatever else. And yeah, there's some tools that people can have for themselves. Not everyone has them, but it could be a winch that they can go and tie around a tree, or they have these like cool paddles that they stick under the tires and they have to get out and dig. It just seems like an enormous amount of work. But then at the same time, that may not even be enough, or the amount of work might be too exhausting. You might be too stuck. That having somebody else, another four-wheel drive nearby, that can hook up to your car and tow you out of whatever little momentary thing. They're not going to tow you the rest of the track. They're not going to take you the whole way to the destination. They just help you get unstuck from that very little moment, provide that little shift that you need. You have to be willing to accept the help and ask for it and take it. But if you can get that little shift, then you're back on the road and enjoying the scenery and everything that life has to offer. So I think that mentors and coaches provide that opportunity for shift.
Yeah, no, completely, 100%. Like I said to you, life circumstances cause us to go through so many things. We think up to 70,000 thoughts a day.
Mm.
So unless we direct those thoughts in a positive way to suit our goals or our dreams, we're going to be gathered with negative thoughts all the time. So when you have a helping hand to show you how to direct those thoughts to a positive way, because our thoughts create our feelings and our feelings create our actions, and then our actions create our results. So it all starts here. And a lot of the time when we've got all those things going on in our mind, write them down, meditate. But sometimes it's good to talk to somebody so that they can give you a different perspective of it, so that you can look at it a different way.
And it's an interesting thing because, you know, it's like We do control our thoughts and we don't. Like I could be sitting here and a thought just into my head and I'm like, oh, where'd that come from? Or like, you know, I might be going along and it'll be like, oh, Tom, you shouldn't be doing a podcast. Or, you know, like that hasn't really popped in my head, but it could. But, you know, like I didn't wish for that thought to arrive, but they do, right? But what I find is that we can change our inputs and we can control things like meditating or writing the thoughts down or not running away with thoughts. I see a thought, I acknowledge the thought, thank you for arriving, and then I let the thought go. I've listened recently or a little while ago to, I think it was an audiobook maybe by Deepak Chopra. I'm not saying his name right, but he, and it's just this thing where he was just saying like about you finding your purpose. And it was just like, he kept saying over and over and over with gaps in between where you had a pad and a pencil and you had to write down the responses, but like, why are you here? And then he would let you have a minute silence or whatever. And then he'd say again, why are you here? And you had to kind of try to like, just keep writing down what came up, what came up, what came up. And I found that so interesting because it again changed the thoughts that I was having. Of my 70,000 thoughts, my thoughts now are going to be different. So that's a process I find, like you were saying, how to ask the question, what would you love? And so we can dictate what those 70,000 thoughts, or at least some of them, what it's likely to be by controlling some of the inputs and controlling some of our behaviors. So I feel like, is that something that you see with clients, that once you start to tell them that, they can start to be a little bit more manual in how they are tackling their thoughts and directing their life rather than just on autopilot, that they start to see a shift?
Absolutely. They definitely do. If you think about it, I mean, all of the hidden laws that are out there, everyone's talking about the law of attraction and the law of vibration. It's the frequencies that we give out. So everything is energy. So if we go and we plug our frequency into, let's say we're watching the news all the time and we're watching everything that's going on around us with COVID and how desperate the world is and the economy and all of that, respectfully to everybody. Those thoughts are going through our minds all of the time. Negative thoughts, negative, negative. However, if we change the frequency to things that we listen to, whether it be a meditation or whether it be a motivational book or whether it be somebody that's giving affirmations, we tend to change our mindset to the things that will go through our minds more onto a positive frequency than a negative frequency. I totally agree with you that there'll be those things that pop in that you can't change and that you was like, where did that come from? Intuition, they call it. But it's just about channeling the frequency of what you're allowing to go into your mind. I'm not asking you to go and put yourself in a house, lock the room and never experience life. It's just about
with a tinfoil hat.
Yeah, noticing what you're noticing. And once you start implementing these things into your life, you actually do start noticing. And people that I'm working with will say, you know, I used to feel this way up until now, and then they change how they would have looked at it before. So you can actually start that even verbally, how we speak.
Mm-hmm.
We can change the way to positive just in what we speak. So yes, I have seen the difference in people and they see it in themselves as well.
I like it. And so if you were to, you know, hop in a time machine, you're back in time, and you're I just love this time machine idea, but yeah, you're heading back to your 18-year-old self, and you can talk to 18-year-old Deb. Like now, you know, what do you think your advice would be to your younger self?
Well, firstly, I'd say good luck, because 18-year-old Deb thought she knew everything.
Mm-hmm.
So if 18-year-old Deb was willing to listen, one of the things I would say is don't always think that there is only one way to achieve something. Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there. You've just got to expand your awareness to find the way. Because there's always an answer. And most importantly, I would say, ask as many questions as you can, and also the quality of the question that you ask. determines the quality of the answer that you get.
That's powerful. I like it. I like it. And it's interesting to think of our younger selves.
She probably wouldn't have listened.
Yeah, wouldn't listen. That is a good point. It is a hard
I'll have to bop her on the head and say, oi, listen.
So that's another thing, though. And again, I see it as a way to get your life into manual override mode, to head to where you want to go, is the quality of the questions. So is that something that you work with people on or work with yourself on? How do we start to build questions? Because, you know, you can hear people's, you know, I might come across someone that's miserable or stuck and they're like, I just don't know why I'm stuck in this situation, or I don't know why I'm, instead of like, what could I be doing that I would love? How do I transition to, you know, my dream life? What is the very next action step I could do? Like, how do you utilize those questions, and how does a person improve the quality of the questions from your perspective?
So when you'd be pleasantly surprised to see the subtle changes that start taking place within yourself when you start changing how you think about things and how you start talking about things. So when you experience that for yourself, it's like the light bulb goes on that, hold on, I'm feeling more joy in my life because I'm looking at things differently, or I'm asking the question differently. The other thing is that one of the things I like to say to my clients is that if you're not happy with the result that you're achieving right now, the only way to change that result is to do things differently to how you were doing them before. So if you keep with the mindset of this doesn't work for me, I don't know how I'm going to do that, it's going to carry on not working for you. It's going to carry on not being able to do that. So possibly change the question and how you ask the question. Why is this happening to me? Or what can I do to change it? And then straight away, people look at those and go, it's just a tiny shift in the way we ask the question, and the quality of the answer that we will get will be totally different.
Mm. Yeah, because a lot of people may not be actually even asking questions. Like, that's an interesting point. Like, it's actually just conclusions, that like statements. I can't, that I'm not good at that. I can't, like, that's not something that I could do, instead of like, well, I haven't done it before, but I'll try. Or like, what would happen if I try? Or, you know, maybe I'll give it a go today. And it's like that, the voice of courage. I love that quote, and I'll probably make a meal of it right now, but it's like, courage isn't always the one that roars. Sometimes it's that tiny voice at the end of the day saying, I'll try again tomorrow. I really love that, you know, you're not automatically going to be, if I want to be an astronaut, tomorrow I'm not an astronaut, you know, and I can sit in my pretend rocket ship and fly my kids around the house and they're going to have a blast, but I'm not leaving Earth at this point for real. So there's a journey there, and I'm going to have to go through those steps and go through that, the butterfly or the gelatinous mess between the caterpillar and the butterfly to actually make it to that point. But it only starts with, I think, questioning and a willingness to try. I can't stops you dead in your tracks, and those conclusive statements don't lead you anywhere more. So if anyone listening or watching this is if you analyze your own mind space, whether it's through journaling or just stopping and hearing your own thoughts, if it is a whole range of I can't and you, or I won't, or I'm not good at, then perhaps just shifting that your mind space, you know, like your mind's a garden and all of those are like the weeds. Pull those out and start to plant seeds for I'll try, and grow those and water those.
Absolutely. And you've just taken the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say, how does a beautiful oak tree grow from a seed? And you have to water it and you have to nourish it. And if you're not nourishing it, it's going to die. And if you do nourish it, it's going to grow. But how long does it take to grow? So it's a constant thing. You have to nourish your mind. You have to be open to trying different things.
I think it's...
The other thing...
Oh, you go.
Yeah, the other thing I wanted to add to that, if you don't mind, is the fact that we don't breathe ourselves. You can't breathe yourself. So there is an energy, a universe, a spirit, whatever people refer to it as, breathing us. So we are going to breathe every single day. Stop yourself from breathing. What happens? You pass out. And then you automatically start breathing again. So you have spirit energy breathing you. So that means there is a power within you that is greater than you know, which means you are capable of far more than you realize.
That's just a powerful thing. Like your fingernails are growing, your hair is growing. Like, you know, I don't wake up. I mean, look, if I woke up and said I want my hair to grow, then I'd have a lot more hair than this. Let's be real. I really do like that. I do like that. That it's almost like somewhat also trusting in the process, and trusting that the universe, you know, or whatever it is, spirit, that it's activating around you, and then somewhat how you're showing up will activate that world. So if you can show up differently, then trust that the world around you will change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing is, you look, it's all about the hidden principles. It's all about the hidden laws. The law of gravity, doesn't matter where you are in the world, you hold a pen up, you drop it, it's going to fall, whether you believe in it or not.
Yeah, law of vibration is an interesting one at the moment. So it's like, you know, I was a big fan of The Secret. And then, you know, now it's like, well, actually, so The Secret's the secondary law, and it's actually the law of vibration that's the first one. And so, like, how do you have a process yourself, or, you know, that you might talk with clients about how a person could change their vibration?
Mindset. You change your vibration because you change the frequency. So when you change the frequency, by the way, you change your thoughts, that then helps with the law of vibration. And it also helps with the law of attraction. Because once you start changing mindset, changing your thoughts and positive affirmations, everything just starts unfolding. It's phenomenal. It's amazing. If we're not attracting the things that we want, we need to look at the things that we're thinking. We need to look at the things that we're saying.
I like it. Make a shift.
It's a lifestyle change.
And it's worth it too. Like, if you want to live a different life, and, you know, like, we can say it over and over, but it's like, if you want a different life, you're going to be having to do different things, like, and there's going to be some discomfort, whatever else. But if you want that change, then work out, like, one of the interesting things, I think it NLP does cover it to a degree, neuro-linguistic programming, but it's like, you know, modeling somebody who is doing it. So if you're not sure about, like, say I want to be a motivational speaker, and I went and sat in a room full of motivational speakers, in that room it is the norm. Before entering that room, it's a dream that just seems so far out there. I'm crazy, it's a woo-woo idea, but all of a sudden in that room it wasn't, it became real. So if people want to go and do different things, reach out to a mentor, reach out to a club, a group, the people that already are living what the life that you want to live. Because most of those people, people weren't born and be like, I'm a life coach. No, they grew to that point. It came to them, and they've made the switch, and they've gotten there. So for anybody, whatever your dream life is, whatever it is that you want to do, find someone that's actually already doing it, and you can model off of them. How are they thinking? And what are they doing? What questions are they asking themselves? You know, and then try to, like, if you can, model that, get in that energy space. That can be another way to shift.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, you think about the movies that you watch, the books that you read, the conversations that you have. You know, you become who you hang around with. And I mean that in a good way. So exactly what you've said now, you want to be a motivational speaker, and you go to a conference of a motivational speaker, a virtual conference. It motivates you to want to be like that, because you're familiarizing yourself and hanging around people that are in the same mindset. So like-minded people.
I like it. And so if you were to hop in the time machine all the way to your 100th birthday, and you're looking back on your life, what would you like to have achieved?
For me, I would love when my name is mentioned that people remember me for helping others.
That's nice. That's nice. And that's so not I just in the family tree, like further afield, like just when your name is mentioned. And that's nice, isn't it? Like in a way, like that shows that there's a real intent to help others.
Yeah, it's all about helping people. It's all about serving people. And when I say serving people, I mean helping them discover who they really would love to be and what life they would really love, and making a difference that they go, I couldn't have done it without you. Because that for me is the most rewarding thing, knowing that I've made a difference, even if it be just in one person's life. I was like that before in my career that I had previously in my 20 years of coaching. And I'm like that now in my Dream Builder transformational life coaching business. It's all about making a difference and helping somebody better themselves and feel like they have reached their full potential.
Yeah, and that is nice to see. That's something that I think is built into me as well. I like that idea of helping people get to a point where they might not have realized they could before, or and like an awareness changes and then they can level up, and you're like, and then they look at you like, oh my God, I can do this thing. And you're like, well, yeah, you know, of course you can. But at one point or another, you just didn't believe that you could. So of course you couldn't whilst you were in that belief. So whether you think you can or whether you think you can't, either way, you're right. I love that Henry Ford quote. So people are listening to this, they're feeling stuck, they're unhappy, miserable perhaps, or even just irritated. They're not liking seeing the results that they're getting. They want to live a life that they truly want. Is there any additional tips that you would share, or things that you would say to them?
To be kind to yourself, to not be too hard on yourself, and understand that you are going to go through different challenges in life. And that's okay. Just remember, though, change things slowly if you have to. And when you start seeing the results of how it makes you feel alive, you'll then want to change more. But always be kind to yourself. And remember, you're never alone. There's always somebody willing to hold your hand. And there's a power inside you that is capable of far more than you know.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing, that quote of, you know, if you were to talk to your friends the way you talk to yourself, would you have any friends? And most people I know wouldn't talk to their friends the way they talk to themselves. So that, you know, should call out, start talking to yourself, be in a more kind way, talk kindly to yourself, be kind to yourself. So I really like that. And you know, that there are other people that are willing to help, you know, even if it's that room of motivational speakers. For me, I went there, they were all willing to help, tell me what I needed to know, offer guidance, offer support. They're not trying to charge me money. And it's like, I have found that every time I reach out for something that I need, it's always, you know, not every single person says yes. So I'm not looking for 100% yes rate. But what I'm finding is that most times when I reach out for help, the people are more than willing to say, yes, I would love to help you, because at one point or another, they were in a position where they maybe needed some help and someone helped them. And so in a way, you know, like that pay it forward or to pass it on that we do. If you're sitting there and you're thinking, oh no, I can't. Well, reach out, because it's likely that someone will be willing to help you, but you also need to be willing to take the action as well to walk the walk, walk the path.
Absolutely. And most importantly is ask for help. Never feel embarrassed to ask for help, because there will be that somebody that is prepared to hold your hand.
Deb, this has been a super fun catch up. I've had a great time and learning, you know, your thoughts and what you're thinking. And, you know, there's a very good chance that people listening to this would love to follow you and be able to potentially work with you, because, I mean, who doesn't want to build their dream life and transform into that dream life? So if people are wanting to follow along and work with you, you know, you mentioned that you do have a website, but did you have any social media handles, websites that you'd like to share so that people can potentially follow you?
Yeah, sure. Thank you for that. So my Instagram handle is mynewbeginning_lifecoach. It's the same for Facebook, mynewbeginning_lifecoach. And then my website is www.mynewbeginning.com. www.co.za.uk. Let me say that again. www.mynewbeginning.co.uk.
Okay. Nice.
That's a good advert, wasn't it?
Nice. And I'm guessing that there's a lot of resources there that people can, like, you know, you mentioned courses and a whole lot of things. So you've actually spent a bit of time creating a lot of stuff that people can, like, you know, get a flavor for what you're about, follow you on the social media, get a bit of an idea. And if it happens to lend to a spark, well, then potentially they might be able to actually get you as a coach, which, you know, again, why not?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a whole lot of videos to help people go through different stages of grief, what's worked, what hasn't worked for me. There's also amazing workshops, masterclass workshops that I offer if anybody's wanting to find out the principles on how to start looking at your dream. And yeah, then there's different, there's a whole lot of different things there. My journey, who I am, what I'm about. And yeah, would love to see you at those.
Love it. Well, look, Deb, thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much.
No worries. So thank you so much for everybody tuning in for another episode. I certainly appreciate you taking the time. I hope that you took something from this interview. There's a lot of gold there from my perspective. But again, I'm Tom Bell. I look forward to catching you on the next episode, and I'll talk to you soon.